Besides, she explained, I do not believe that I could stand, for long, the intense light and glory of these higher planes. My soul is not yet strong enough. I was silenced. Without even a hint of reproof, I had been made to realize a fault in myself. How much I need to learn. How divine is true humility. But neither do I condemn thee. The words echo in my thought like a bursting bud of great promise. The way is eternal. Our little minds are illumined and comforted with the knowledge that the serial life is a wonderfully kind project of divine compassion for each of us. As we have tried to achieve in other consciousnesses, other states of being, so will we be allowed to go on, chapter by chapter, serial by serial, book by book, to grow in wisdom and beauty into that image so gloriously represented, that of the divine image. I am filled with hope, with serenity and with tranquil acceptance even in the contemplation of such progress in the far distant scheme of things. 25th March I mentioned that I would talk about groups and the subject that was very close to our hearts when I was in incarnation, that of the group soul. Nothing that has occurred here or has been shown to me in the occurrences of my life here in eternity has brought any change in my belief in group work and in the evidence of group souls. Or if you care to express in another way, soul groups which unite to constitute a group soul. This concept, I am perfectly aware, will not fit in with much of the theology of the established churches of Christendom. Nor will it be acceptable to many people, due to an inherent, cultivated idea of man's individual importance. In other words, people object to being, as they choose to term it, only a cell in a great conglomeration of cells, a soul in a group formation of souls. Yet why should they? What proof has anyone that he or she is a single and isolated unit of life? The whole of nature expresses the unity of the life plan. Plants, animals, minerals belong to different families, and respond uniformly to prescribed patterns. Should the human then be so different? Since my life began here, my eyes have been opened to the great and wise truths inherent in these concepts of groups. And as the world is now going into a new age, with new conceptions, this question of group souls will come to be more and more postulated, even by those who now prefer to discern pride in the isolation of units. We are, to my limited knowledge, all members not of one group but of many, and the many make up the great group or the great soul being in which we live and move and have our being. And these great beings unite to form further great group souls or divine beings in the divine company of heaven. This is possibly a difficult concept to take at first, but I will try and break it down for those who are interested to read these ideas. First of all, we belong to a family group. We are born into and marry into family groups, which are most suitable for the type of experience and lessons we, as incarnating souls, need. Many people do not get far away from the family groups or tribes, in lesser cultivated nations. The family group soul is the most important in their lives. They are the folk we call clannish. Naturally, when they arrive over here after death of the physical body, they graduate to that family group that to carry on the lessons and experiences of earth life, and develop harmony and happiness. There is no compulsion for them to leave the group until they are ready and willing to go on to the next larger group to which they, all unwittingly, also belong. This first is the simplest group, and many souls remain under the joyful protection and guidance of this group being for a long span. 2. The next groups are the groups of interest, passionate attachments to the arts, music, education, social sciences and social service. These are wider, more extensive groups and extend beyond families and individuals to smaller groups. Such groups would be those of musicians, artists, prophets, orators, writers, doctors, philosophers, scientists who had passed through the group work and had graduated. Their passionate interest would naturally be part of their soul life, and they would graduate to such groups where they could continue their studies and their achievements. Sometimes family groups are included in these larger groups, and then the two groups fit into one another and merge. In other words, these family groups would be as cells within the higher mental groups. When souls arrive here and have cleared the receiving houses, they pass on to First, the family and then later, if the family is not of similar mental groups, to the special group of their interests. This is rather like clearing customs on Earth. At arrival in a new country, then joining the family awaiting your arrival and later, passing on to your business or mental or artistic associates. The groups fit in with one another, or are part of one another, just as the finger is part of the hand of the arm, and the arm of the body. 3. The next stage of groups is on a higher level and is not always attained by souls who desire rapid return to earth conditions. To me, in my humble state now in my first group, that of interest and service as in the community on earth, the probability of being included in these higher groups of extended consciousness is a joyful anticipation towards which I work gladly, yet with contented assent. We could compare these higher groups with the advanced classes in a university. Here the interests, the subjects for study are still partially separated. The advanced student is accepted into classes of wider range, power and interest. In the guidance of these groups are great beings, watching over the progress of their cell, like clusters of souls. They work on higher mental rays of influence, for although I know very little about them as yet, I have questioned many souls who have contacted them and worked amongst them. These soul groups are extensive, yet concentrated in their classes and workshops. They realize more than we can possibly do the divinity inherent in every particle of the cosmos. They are able to study divine laws beyond our understanding. They commune together with and in the mind of the higher beings whose soul group they constitute. They work for progress in divine imagination and they work as divine imaginational groups. They inspire lower groups with their findings, for still they contain the lower groups within their centers as cell points in a vast intricate and beautiful organism. Amongst them are philosophers, scientists, researchers, priests, teachers. They are parts of groups which influence and impress such movements on earth as psychic research, healing movements, religious go, operation, the advancement of science and all movements intended to bring light upon future worlds. When I am ready and my cleansing and sloughing off of earthly desires has advanced sufficiently for me to be enabled to live in a rarer atmosphere, I trust that I shall move on to take up habitation and study in one of these groups. Then I shall be able to attend the classes and listen to the teachers and discuss with my fellows in one of these universities of the spirit. Then I shall be able to take part in the communion with the great spiritual being who is the center of the group. But this is to come. 4. Beyond these groups there must be other groups and companies of heaven, greater beings, vaster projects right up to the concept of divinity itself, of which we can have little or no conception. I have not mentioned the shadow lands here because, to my mind, these seem to be the clearing houses where unlawful and mischievous adjuncts of the old personalities are rejected, discarded and finally resolved. At this particular place in my own progress I am in my own interest group, that of the community and service. But I am also aware of the group beyond to which I belong and to which I trust I am gravitating. I have already contacted briefly some of those who dwell in those wider spheres, and I am able to communicate through the inner thought and to receive impressions from them. As a point of interest I will reiterate that which I told you before. These scripts are organized and impressed upon me by a band of souls. Thus I am being used as a telepathic link to you and to the earth by these souls. This group then is the next stage for me to which I look forward with joyful anticipation. I shall still be a part of the community and I shall be able to return here whenever I wish for service and refreshment, but I shall also be absorbed into the higher group. It is always easier, of course, to step back into a former group than it is to progress on into the atmosphere of groups of wider consciousness until one is completely ready. I shall therefore be connected with these two groups as well as my family group, which I have not mentioned here as it is personal to me. Can you appreciate now what I mean by group work and group souls? One group is within another, within the next and the next into the highest beam of light, which is divine life itself, or God. All is progress. Nothing is static. Imagination passes and grows from the emotional to the mental to the spiritual levels. Life is a continuing path towards one's particular group, one's individual experiences, one's own progress and onwards into the arc of ascendancy. To me, this is a far more heartening process than any glory of a static heaven with angels and golden floors. Angels, of course, there are. Great beings of light who do the will of the divine creator and who carry and transmit power and beauty and light. But they too are in the process of progress, advancement towards their own great centers. All is order, advancement, progress. And all is unity. Life cells within life cells, centers within centers, groups within groups, into the very heart of divinity. 28th March. More about groups. I said that we belong to groups, one within another, such as groups of family, interests, absorbing work, aspirations, creeds, etc. That is true, and that the group soul or group spirit is the being in whom the members of the group live and move. In other words, his is the fount of divine life and energy from which the group draws its inspiration, its life, its intuitions. To tune in, therefore, to the life, power and beauty of such a group spirit is to experience the God power within one's own mind and soul. All great aspirations, revelations and divine whisperings of intuition originate in and through the spirit of the group to which one belongs, that is the highest point of the group. Thus, family sacrifices, family peace, love, harmony all originate from the group soul of the family. In the same way, great aspirations for service and for imparting knowledge to others and for the guiding and enlightenment of our fellows, comes from the great spiritual being who is the center group spirit of that particular group. Since I left the earth life, I have been taught by a teacher with whom I am in contact, mentally and spiritually. He himself is a part of the group soul in the group towards which I am progressing and of which, although I was not entirely aware, I have been a member for many ages. This teacher is a higher disciple, a wise and advanced soul, and is able to impart knowledge and wisdom to souls in the group. Here, progress, when made, is always rewarded with a service. In other words, as one advances to greater light, so one is allowed to teach and guide others of the group on a lesser path. The group itself is made up of souls at all levels of consciousness, from the highest to the mediocre. But the spirit of the groups only itself advances as the younger and less knowledgeable members make progress. It is a unified advance. No member of the group can pass beyond the call and communication of other members. When the group itself advances into the divine company, then there will be no stragglers. But, as I am instructed, such an experience is far beyond the group consciousness at this stage. You too belong to this same group. Indeed, you might be surprised to learn of the personalities in the smaller groups which are all banded together to form the great group. It embraces many other apparently separate groups. Thus we are indeed one with another, and it seems to me that one of our chief lessons to learn whilst immersed in the personality is that of tolerance. For often we do not know, how can we when our eyes are veiled in the earthly life, who is a member of our same group. We may even feel a sense of repellence towards a certain person, even though he appears to be working along identical lines of thought with us. But repel, lances slow, ephemeral and later, when we have shed some of the lesser aspects of the personality, we may find that the other person is an advanced member of our own group to whom we are indissolubly linked by ties of spiritual kinship. On the other hand, there are souls to whom we instinctively and immediately react with affection, admiration, union. I used to believe that these were souls with whom we had been in contact in other incarnations and to whom we owed karmic debts or who owed us reparation for wrongs inflicted. Now my understanding is widening. What I believed may still be true in part, but now I realize that those souls who attract us are part of ourselves. They belong to the same group, the same spiritual family, the same group soul. Their connection with us is deeper and far more permanent than mere earth contacts could make it. They may be part of the same spirit as that spirit is itself part of the great spirit, the great company of divinity, far beyond our comprehension, the company of heaven, the co-creators, the divine and beautiful sons of God. I am learning much, experiencing much, comprehending more. I realized that on earth I tried too hard, I worked too strongly, I essayed too much. Now I am learning to absorb through experience and not entirely through mental application, although the application of the mind attributes will ever be part of my make-up. The mental activity was a part of my lesser self. It was not the essence of which I am slowly becoming aware, slowly and perhaps of my ignorance, painfully absorbing. Painfully. That may have a strange connotation but a deep significance. Yet with the pain of regret for opportunity neglected, there is still the deep joy of the spirit for greater realization, which is light itself. Let go. And let the spirit flow into you was one of the teachings of Plotinus, and how true he was. One does not need to strive for perfection. Let the perfection of the soul and spirit seep through the windows and doors of the personality. You recall how much I loved Francis Thompson's Hound of Heaven? What a deeply spiritual insight was in the mind of the poet. He wrote of the light pursuing us down the years, down the ages, I would add. It, the light, the spirit, the highest aspect of any group soul is part of us in every incarnation, every existence, in all our wanderings from heaven, in all our experiences. It is the divine group spirit, the extension of God, the fountain and head which, by our endeavors, poor they may be, evolves ever inwards to the eternal center of light and creative energy which men call God. In this progressive creation, by groups and companies, we progress onwards and upwards into that divine self, after eons of endeavor, into inclusion in the divine company, into bliss which is inexplicable at our present stage of understanding. The spirit of life is far more wonderful, more awe-inspiring, more glorious and far extending than man has ever realized. In the flight of the eagle we can watch the bird soar up into the sky, we can distinguish the beat and whirl of its wings, we discern its progress, until it becomes but a speck in the heavens, and soars beyond our following. That is life itself, only visible and but partially understood at its lowest level, and lost to us as it presses ever onwards to join the limitless sky of God's creative love. 3rd April. I am getting to the end of my work for this book now. The scripts will not be so long and arduous, though I may still be instructed to add more from time to time. When I first came here and awoke to this new and free life without the drawbacks of my physical body, I was thrilled and excited. I longed to rush it all to you who had been my partner in so many thrilling spiritual adventures at the end of my sojourn. I knew instantly that I could contact you by the telepathic methods which we had been studying. I wanted to write all my experiences, describe the people I met, the cases at which I was allowed to assist and detail every bit of my life here to you. And so I did. I thought I was doing this on my own, until I learned that I was an instrument of a greater group. That too was a thrill, to realize that our group work had been a preparation for this means of contact. I threw myself into the work and service here with greater joy. I pondered long upon the cases which I had described to you. I began to comprehend more and more the wonder and reality of this serial life. This then is the message which we want to put across before I finish the scripts. 1. There should be no fear of death, for the death of the body is but a gentle passing to a much freer life. 2. That all life is lived as a serial, that we go from one experience of living to another experience of living at a different rate, that is on a higher level of awareness. 3. That much of what we thought praiseworthy on earth is mediocre to us in the light of wider knowledge, and conversely much for which we blamed ourselves and were blamed by others, is viewed here from a wider angle and even becomes merit. That sounds like a contradictory statement, yet it makes sense when viewed from this freer angle. Now I am calm. I have settled down and am fast becoming adjusted to this new life, enjoying the love and service with many I knew on earth, teaching those who find difficulty in adjustment, and in absorbing the essence of beauty and light in which we dwell. There is infinite hope, later, of going onwards and of joining the greater group to which I have always belonged. The group which contains this group also in its spiritual consciousness. But I am content and happy in the work to which my talents, such as they are, and the mental training I underwent on Earth, can be applied. The group is satisfied with the way in which the scripts have been transmitted and received. Such small errors as there have been will be adjusted, or will be of little matter, and I trust the book resulting will be of help to many souls on Earth. It is only a preparatory pamphlet, for I am still only in the preparatory stage of my journey. But it will serve, and by so doing, will thrice bless us all, to open minds of many to this new life towards which every human being is traveling, and if it makes plainer the answers to a few of the questions which have plagued those still in incarnation on Earth, our task will have been well and truly done. Blessings upon you and upon all who read this humble testimony of the light of the Spirit and the Spirit of Life. 14th April, Helen Greaves. A feeling of great and abiding peace came upon me. I remember that it was a chill April day with snow showers and the electricity supply failed in the morning, so that for the best part of the day I was without heat, except for a faithful old oil stove. The light was bad and I was trying to type out a talk to be given before the weekend. There were many physical difficulties and annoyances. Suddenly the wave of peace swept over me. I folded my hands and let myself be absorbed into its beauty and repose. The Spirit, as it were, seeped into me like soft light, warmth and radiance. I felt very well, very calm, yet very alert and with an inward tranquility that seemed beyond explanation. This is the Spirit, I told myself, opening to it like a light, starved plant to the sunshine. This is Spirit. Gently, imperceptibly, I became aware of Frances. She was influencing my mind and, quite distinctly, I registered the thoughts she was conveying to me. Indeed, as soon as I let myself listen, the thoughts formed into words and without a moment's hesitation I reached for my pen. Frances, I can use my inner mind so much more now, Frances wrote through my pen and mind. On Earth it was difficult to break through to Spirit for long enough periods to be lasting in effect. I tried, by meditation, and I did succeed in stilling the conscious mind, but I did not then achieve measure of living in the spiritual mind, as I am now able to do. Yes, I still have several parts or bodies and I marvel more as I recognize them. The purely personal part of me is being cleansed and purified. I live mostly now in an astral body and that gives a measure of greater freedom than a dense physical body, but I am very aware of my higher body, or if you wish, my inner self, much more aware of it than when in incarnation in the physical plane of matter. I am now learning, and achieving I trust, a higher balance of living. By this I mean that I am becoming aware of my spiritual body and in so doing I am enabled to absent myself from this plane of thought, the astral or emotional, and slip away in consciousness to the higher mental and spiritual planes of thought. With the transition from this consciousness to that of the higher comes an exquisite sense of peace and freedom such as I can scarcely explain. Here, I, Helen Greaves, asked mentally if the peace I had felt so recently was a sample of this sense. Yes, but only a fraction of its intensity. I cannot help even to transmit the enveloping peace. The sense of tranquil being that envelopes one with this transition of consciousness. It is the break, through for which I longed when on Earth and which I only experienced in infinitesimal moments of union. It is the reality of being. It is joy beyond words. It is in truth an ecstasy of living, of being alive, alert self in a world of live and glorious selves within a consciousness of a great creative self. I cannot express this feeling of inner spirit more clearly. And I must add that I am but a tyro yet in achieving even this measure of consciousness. Neither can I hold it indefinitely at my present stage of evolution. Perhaps the intensity of it would, so to speak, burn me up until I am attuned to this stepped, up frequency of vibration. It is intense joy, unqualified bliss, the aim and acme of all the struggles to discover the Spirit. And still only can I achieve it in periods of consciousness. Yet I can be content as I become more fully alert to the possibilities of the higher planes. 15th April I am like a creature hibernating, and yet at the same time, sloughing off a skin which I no longer will be needing. I feel, sometimes, like a snake gradually shedding its skin. These coils of lower density are slipping away from me. I am emerging from regrets of earth memories, from disillusions, from idealizations which become illusions, ephemeral and of no true worth. I am viewing each piece of skin which peels off from me in its right connection with the true self which it served to obscure. And more I become thankful for the reality which, God be praised, was the beneath the skin, all the time. This is the self which is now becoming more and more outstanding, more revealed, more substantial. That self is substantial light. Perhaps that last sentence rings oddly to you. I am trying not to become obscure, but one's angle of vision alters on this plane of living. I realize that what is passing from me, like sloughing a skin, is insubstantial, impermanent, decomposing, as it drops from me into a dusty nothingness. What is left is essentially light, is reality, is permanent and is true. I call this my new body of light, and that, indeed, is what it truly is. A body of light, not dense and material and dull and heavy as the physical body, not insubstantial, shadowy and unreal as the astral body in which I have been sheltering, but brilliant, filled with light, ethereal in that there is no weight, no dragging down into matter but is enmeshed with color and beauty into form and substance. Is that a difficult conception? You must remember that I am forming this, my spiritual body, or should I be more correct in saying I am merging into it? That sounds a paradox, but then much to which I am becoming adjusted here is paradoxical when viewed in the light of the restricted thinking of the human mind. I still have a mind, I still have a body, but both are inevitably changing, and because of that I feel as if I am emerging, like a grub from a chrysalis, to a butterfly. Gradually I can function more readily and for deeper periods in my body of light, and in it, concorn, flume with more advanced souls and imbibe their wisdom. 16th April. I am trying to function more and more in this body of light. I cannot sustain it for long yet, but I have the joy and bliss of the certainty of a further expansion which is available to us all. This is the next step in progression, the stepping out of illusion into the consciousness of the functioning of the higher self, an emergence into a wider consciousness and an awareness of spiritual beings and of forces from the all, creative mind of God. This is a gradual process and may take years, in earth consciousness of time, to fulfill. I feel as though I am starting on a path of light which leads upwards and onwards into realms of unimaginable beauty and wonder, and of which I have, as yet, but the faintest glimmer of comprehension. The journey itself is compensation enough for the trials of earth existence and for the emotion of judgment in action of those trials and of my individual response to them, from which judgment I am now emerging. I am reminded of a passage of Robert Browning, "There shall never be one lost good. What was shall live as before. On the earth the broken arcs, in the heaven, a perfect round. All we have willed or hoped or dreamed of good shall exist, not its semblance, but itself, no beauty, nor good, nor power whose voice has gone forth but each survives for the melodist when eternity affirms the conception of an hour. The high that proved too high, the heroic for earth too hard, the passion that left the ground to lose itself in the sky are music sent up to God by the lover and the bard. Enough that he heard it once, we shall hear it by and by." Part 2 Explanation. Helen Greaves, between these two series of scripts was a period of nearly 17 months. I had little or no communication with Francis during that time. Indeed, I was quite certain in my mind that Francis had finished her inspiration for the book. I felt that she had truly gone on, that she was out of reach of my mind, and because of this belief I never thought of contact with her. Once, during a meditation session at a conference of the Church's Fellowship for Psychical and Spiritual Studies which I attended and which was being led by our chairman, Colonel Lester, I had a distinct vision of Francis. This was not the Francis I had known, nor was it the spirit I had seen clairvoyantly in her habit when she was present at her own memorial service in London. This was a different being, a spirit filled with light, radiant and glorious. She stood near the altar of the chapel where we were gathered for this prayer and meditation, and light streamed about her. I distinctly recall that her robe impressed me. It was of a light soft blue and it sparkled and shone. I can only compare its iridescence to a gown covered with spangles which caught and reflected light. Her face was the face of a young woman. She looked breathtakingly beautiful.